Time to start our worship service today. Let's stand, grab a Heavenly Highway Hymns second edition, turn to page 181. 181. Turn over to page 66. Page 66 for our next song this morning.
Good morning, everybody. I hope everybody's had a good week. Everybody had a good week? It's good to see everybody out today. I hope you've been blessed this week, and I hope you've had a good day starting out. It is a beautiful Lord's Day. Maybe the sun is not shining like we would normally think would be beautiful, but it's beautiful to us. It should be, and I'm thankful this morning to have the opportunity to be in the house of the Lord. Our crowd's down a little bit today. We still have some visitors with us today, and we We thank you for coming to be with us today, and I hope and pray that we all get a great blessing today out of our service, and I just pray that we can all be about God's business today in this day. And I hope that we can all be prayerful, that the Lord will come and meet with us today. And let's just be about God's business in whatever way that we possibly can. We're going to go ahead and have our children's church this morning. And I just hope and pray that you'll be prayerful for us today. Brother Sam is on a trip with his mother down to Texas to visit some of their family. And let's just pray that the Lord will help us in this today. So kids, we're going to come right over here today, if you would, and we'll have our children's church. Come right ahead, guys. Any more coming? I appreciate all y'all coming up here today. I'm glad that you've come to be a part of this. You see, I want you to know today, first of all, you're a big part of this church. You fill a spot in this place. And you make my heart really grand inside, because I get to look at your faces, and that makes me happy just to see y'all today. So I want, first of all, y'all to know that I love you and that I really am glad to see you. Now, as far as our little children's church today, I've got a little same thought that Brother Sam used several weeks ago. But I want to bring it out again, because I want us to be you to see that it's special. Because what I want you to remember is, today, is this: God made you. You see, a lot of people these days, they want to say that, oh, you're just an accident in a sense, that maybe you came from a monkey or something like that. Did any of y'all come from a monkey? No. You came from your mamas and daddies. And you are very special in their eyes. And not only in their eyes, but you're special in God's eyes. See, God made you just like you are for a particular reason. You might think, well, I don't know what that reason is. You see, I didn't know what my reason was for many years. And you will find that out as you continue to grow. And as you continue to come on in church and come to church and just listen to the preaching, you're going to start to hear things that you'll start to see, well, that's why I'm here. See, because that you're special in God's eyes, He has a special reason for you being here. Whether you're a boy or a girl, God's got a special thing for you. So He made you for that purpose, is what He did. And He wants you to keep that in mind, that you are special in His eyes. It may be that some people would say, well, you need to do this or you need to do that, but you do what God wants you to do, and He will make sure that you are very well blessed. What do you consider to be blessed? Do you know what being blessed is of God? What? Yeah, that's true. But sometimes He just gives you even more of that. And that is the daily blessings that will make you even better, make you happier, makes others happy, is what it does. You see, one of the things that I think that God made us for is to help others. And if you help others, be happy, comfort them in times, make them to feel better at times. You know, when I was y'all size, I can remember being in school very early in the day. Well, I'll say even in the year. And we had a little girl that came into our classroom that was brand new. And when she got there, she got really homesick for her mama. And she started crying and everything. And I can remember thinking, I felt sorry for her because she was crying and missing her mama. And I remember, first of all, I just kind of went over and I said, it'll be all right. Mama will help you. She'll be back with you real soon. I can remember doing that for me. Now, whether it really helped her or not, I don't know. But one thing I do remember, it seemed like at the time it made her feel better, and it made me feel better because I tried to help her. That's why you're special. When we help others, we're special, just like God made us to be. All right? I'm not going to get you to recite anything today like Brother Sam does, but I hope you've been blessed today with this lesson. I'll turn you loose at this time. We appreciate the kids coming up for our children's church today. I hope everybody can enjoy even the children's church for us. I think it's a good opportunity for us to be reminded of things. And I hope that the children always remember, and I hope we remember, that God made us special for a reason. He's got a purpose for each and every one of us is what he does. So let's do keep that in mind. We want to go to the Lord in prayer here in just a few minutes. I do want to give everybody a, first of all, prayer request. We put it on the Facebook page this morning early. I don't know if you've heard it or saw it yet or not. But, of course, Sister Mona Weatherington, she lost her father here a few months ago. And then about a month or so ago, she lost her husband and she lost her mother this morning. So she's got a hard time. She's having a hard time right now. And she called me early this morning to let me know about her mother passing. And of course, we need to be prayerful for Sister Mona and the family. This is, when you stack it like this, it makes it really hard on a family. So do remember Sister Mona and the family in the loss of her mother today. We want to go to the Lord in prayer today, and let's just remember her. But is there any other prayer request this morning? Lord, here. Yes, ma'am. Let's do remember this child. Someone else? We want to go to the Lord in prayer. Let's remember these requests. And maybe you've got one that you're not going to vocalize, but let's be prayerful for these things. You pray for them is what I want you to do this morning. So let's all be about the Lord's business today. And I'll ask you again to be prayerful for me, that if the Lord will that I stand today to preach, that I'll have the Lord's help today in this service. Everybody that would pray in your own way, we'll call on one to lead us in prayer, but we want everybody to pray. Brother Trey, if you would you start our prayer, please? But everybody pray.
Let's turn over to page 64 for our next song this morning. Ladies, please help out on the melody in the chorus. Page 64.
Thank you.
Let's turn over to one that I've never heard here, so I'm going to need your help. Page 256. 256, a short hymn written by Bill Gaither.
Good morning again, everyone. We appreciate each and every one being here this morning. And we want the Lord's will to be done in this service today. And I hope that you will be prayerful for this service. Does anybody have a word of testimony or anything before we get started? We're going to take a reading lesson today from the 12th chapter of the book of Daniel. 12th chapter of the book of Daniel. Our crowd's down a little bit today. There are some families that are out. I hope it's not sickness. We do have some that are sick, and we need to be prayerful for them. We have some faces that I wish were here today. I do. It's needful that they hear the preaching of God's word because they are unsaved. There are some here today that are not saved. I look around and I see them, and I'm thankful that they're here. And I just pray that this message will have effect on them today. And this is one of our doctrines of the church. And it's needful that we elaborate on this from time to time. I listened to a little study this week, and a man was talking about telling stories. And he said the biggest difference between men and animals is that we have the ability to tell a story. And we want people to believe our story. Now, I want you to believe this story today. I hear preachers from time to time that will make the statement out of the pulpit, "I don't care if you believe me or not," is what they say. I'm not that way. I want you to believe me today. I especially want those that are unsaved today to believe the preaching of God's word. It's needful. They need to believe. The world needs today to believe this word. And I want you to believe it today. And as I said, we're going to take our reading lesson today from the 12th chapter of the book of Daniel. And we'll start with verse 1, and it says, "And at that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince which standeth for the children of thy people, and there shall be a time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation, even to that same time. And at that time thy people shall be delivered, every one that shall be found written in the book. And many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt." That's our reading lesson this morning. That's verses 1 and 2. that we're going to read for our reading lesson. And basically, we're going to take our thought from these verses. It will not be the exact words, but it is going to be this thought today. I am not for lack of better words, I'm not one of these preachers that preaches solely, or mostly, I'll say, up on end times. I'm not one of those type preachers. I have studied it. I've got my opinions on it. And as the old saying goes, I'm going to stick to those opinions. I believe it. That's what God gave me. So I'm going to take what He gives me. Now, up until a few years ago, I had never heard it called eschatology. Eschatology is the study of death and end times and of resurrection, of the resurrection. I'm not going to try to preach all of this today, but we're going to cover this to a certain degree because it's needful today for us to believe there is coming a time of death. Yeah, there's coming a time of death. We as human beings, we realize it, we see it. We do. We see it with many people around us. There's death coming. Brother and Sister Dennis was visiting with us last week, and Brother Dennis made mention of one of my classmates, and I had mentioned Brother David Robinson different times. He is the father of Brother Carter Robinson, but Dennis mentioned him last week and said in that day, he said they put him on hospice. He died the next day. He died the next day. Pray for his family. Pray for Brother Carter. But the thing that I want you to realize, death is coming. Now, the other part of this message today will have to do with the second coming of the Lord. And we'll get to that in just a little bit. And of the resurrection of His saints. These are all parts of the doctrine of our church. I realize today many people really work and think about the end times. And that's okay. If you're one that really wants to study it, that's fine. I'm not one that really works and tries to study and believe, try to get over to people all about that. Some of the TV preachers, every time I turn them on, they've got a chart on the back and behind them, and they're talking about how this has got to happen, this has got to happen, and that's got to happen. And if you want to study that, that's fine. But there's a whole lot about Jesus I still haven't learned. And I still haven't figured out. But the thing about it is, we need to know there is a time of death. There is a time when Jesus will return. And there is a resurrection for us who are saved, and we're going to be with Jesus. And there is a resurrection for those that are sinners. You will also be resurrected. When you go into the grave, you're coming out of there one of these days too. And as it says here in our lesson, for you it says, and some shall be, bearings here, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. You see today, what I want you to understand, there is coming a time when that you will be resurrected, and it will not be fun. I'm going to put it in that terms. It's not going to be a joyful time. Many people have in their minds, when they die, that's all there is. Many people believe that, yeah, they die, they'll stay in the grave for a little while, then God will have mercy, and they will get to go to heaven later. Maybe even in some doctrines, they teach that individuals, families will say, get to pray or have people to pray or are paid out of that place and get to go to heaven because of that. You'll not find that in the Word of God. When that day comes and there is a resurrection time, you will be raised in contempt, and it will be a time of shame. Now, getting through that part, first of all, let's get into what the scriptures teach us today on these things. There is, according to the writings of Job in the 7th chapter in the 1st verse, he says, is there not an appointed time to man upon the earth? Are not his days also like the days of a hireling, he says. As a servant earnestly desires the shadow, and as a hireling looketh for the reward of his work, so am I made to possess months and vanities and wearisome nights and appointed to me. When I will lay down and say, when shall I rise? I rise and the night be gone, and I am full of tossing to and fro until the dawning of the day. What he is speaking about here, he makes a comparison to one of his servants. I want us all to realize today, we here upon this earth, saved and sinner alike, we have an appointed time. And when I say an appointed time, I don't want you to get in your head, there is a time that God has appointed on the calendar, a specific time whereby you're going to die. The Bible tells us we can lengthen our days or shorten our days up on the earth. But there is an appointed time unto us that we will die. There is no man in this world that has not got a time in which that he will not die. Yes, there is two in the Bible that did not see death. They were privileged to be carried on to be with God. And what they did, especially in the case of Elijah, we have what it says was he and Elisha was divided asunder by a chariot of fire. And Elijah went up in a whirlwind is what it says. But the Bible says he did not die. But there was a time appointed in which that he got to go and be with God. That's the special part that I want you to get today. You're going to face God on a certain time. It is appointed unto men to die. You'll find that in the ninth chapter of the book of Hebrews. And what he says here, and it is appointed unto men once to die, he says. And then we need to remember this today. But after this, the judgment. This message today is both for those who are not saved, and it is for us that are saved. First of all, it's for us to understand these things are coming about. But we need to also remember the second part of this verse, where that he says it is after this, then after that we're dying, then the judgment. Every one of us is going to stand before the Lord in judgment. There's two of them. Did you know that? First of all, you find it in the 24th chapter of the book of Matthew when Jesus was speaking to them. And what he said in that day, I said 24th, it's 25th chapter. He said, then we will be like unto a shepherd when we're gathered all together, and the shepherd divideth the sheep from the goats. That's your first judgment. And he says, and the sheep shall be gathered unto him, and he'll tell them, blessed are they. And he said, they're going to inherit the kingdom of heaven. Now, the other ones, the goats that are on the left hand, he's going to say to them in that day, depart from me. I want you to get that part. Depart from me is what he is telling them. It is appointed unto men to die, and then the judgment. God will judge you whether or not you're saved or not. There was a day, maybe I should say night, there was a night in which that I sought the Lord. I put my faith and trust in Him, and when I did that, God saved my soul. He applied the blood of Jesus Christ to my soul and cleansed it and made it white as snow, made it not having sin, forgiving all those sins. He did that for me that night. And because of that blood, what the scripture says, I will be judged as one of His sheep. But if you do not have the blood of Christ applied to you, I hate to tell you this, but you're a goat. You're a goat. And you haven't trusted in Him. And because of that today, that is a significant judgment. You may say, but preacher, surely the Lord will look at what I have done. He'll look at the things that I did. He'll see the good that I've done, and surely He will see that. You know what the psalmist David said about that judgment? That the unjust shall not sit in judgment with the just. You'll find that in the first chapter of the book of Psalms. That's your proof of that. But for us, I said, after death, then the judgment. Now, I don't know how you feel about being judged by individuals. Many times we do not like to sit in judgment in different places. Maybe it's in a courtroom. Maybe it's in a workplace. Maybe it's in the church house. But we are subject to being judged, and most of us do not like that judgment that people have about us. We don't consider it to be just. We don't consider it to be right many times. But I want you to understand, God is a righteous judge. His judgment is always true and right. And what He sees in this judgment will be right. Now, I want you to think back in your mind. I'm talking to church members. I'm talking to saved folks right now, because I want you to get in your mind. When we talk about people saying, well, I hope my good works outweigh my bad works, and I'm not talking about getting to heaven, but do you not want God to see your good works? I've heard it described, and this is not the way the scripture describes it. It's not going to happen this way. But I've heard people say, just imagine you was in a big theater and they had your life on a movie screen and everybody was watching you and your life at that moment in time. I don't want you seeing my life. I'm not as good as I ought to be. How about you? Would you want to have your life put before everybody? It doesn't matter if it's everybody. God sees your life. And what I want you to understand today, we've got a judgment, and we need to get ourselves to the place where we can stand before God. Now, as I said, the most important judgment is to be found as one of His sheep, having the blood of Christ in us. And today, if you do not have the blood of Christ applied to your heart, I want you to consider today, it's time to get to that place. Why? Because it's getting closer to the time when the Lord shall return. Well, you said, wait a minute, preacher, you don't study that, and I don't. I don't study it, but The Bible tells us to view, to look, and to understand that it is drawing nigh. The parable that Jesus told in the 24th chapter of the book of Luke was this. He said, do you not see, and I'm paraphrasing this, did you not see here a few weeks ago the trees were barren? They didn't have any leaves on them. And if you got close enough, you started to see the buds on the trees as they started swelling and they started getting out stronger and prettier. Then we saw the leaves starting. We knew, and in our terms, spring was near, didn't we? We saw the evidence of it. We knew it was nigh. And what the Lord told them in that day was this. You read the signs and you see these signs and know that the time is near. I want you to understand what the scripture tells us is already in place. That's what I want you to understand today. Things are already in place. I realize today there are preachers out there that say, well, this thing has got to happen. That over there, we've got to have this in place before the Lord can come back. If you'll go over there to the 24th chapter of the book of Matthew again, and what he says there in this place. He said, immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall not shall fall from heaven, and the powers of heaven shall be shaken. And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. Let me back up a verse or two here. And I'm not seeing the verse that I had in mind, but what he says, and when this generation has passed, he said, Jesus in his speech to them, he said, all of these things will be fulfilled before this generation passes. Do you know what a generation is or was for them? It was the people that was on the earth at that time. And what he was telling them was, you better get ready. Think about that for just a minute. This period of time that these people saw Jesus crucified, these people, they saw his resurrection. They saw his apostles as they preached unto them about Christ and about how he died for them and about his salvation. They preached about these things, and Jesus said, all of these things are going to be fulfilled in this generation. Oh, preacher, that's not what they teach. We've got plenty of time. Are you sure? Hey, if the Lord doesn't come back, do you know when you're going to die? I didn't mention that a while ago. Do you know? You see, either way, you're going to meet the Lord, one way or another. And that's the part that I want you to get today. For when Daniel's talked about it there in our reading lesson today, what he said, then Michael shall stand the great prince which standeth for the children of thy people. And there shall be a time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation, even to that same time. And at that time, thy people shall be delivered, he says. And everyone that shall be found written in the book, that's the ones that saved. And many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake. Hey, What about the people that's out here in the cemetery? What about the people that are cremated? What about the ones that were buried at sea? You know, God can draw all of them back together and awaken them out of the dust of the earth. And He can bring them back together. Now, I don't think I read this verse, but I want to go back to Matthew 24. And this is your sign. And He shall send His angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they shall gather together His elect from the four winds and from one end of heaven to the other. There is coming a time when God's going to gather every one of us together, saved and sinner alike. You know what the Bible says about it? Every eye shall see Him. Every knee shall bow and confess that Jesus is the Christ. I want you to get that thought. You can confess that Jesus is the Christ. I'm not talking about just with your lips. You got to do it down in the depths of your heart. You cannot just make it a passive idea. Oh, I do believe in Jesus. I go to church on Sunday. That means I'm okay. No, God requires a complete, utter faith in Him, a complete belief in Him, not a halfway belief. We use this, talked about this just for a moment in our Sunday school lesson this morning. And I want to show you the difference in complete faith and a difference of partial faith. You know what the Bible says about when the children of Israel were going out of Egypt and they got hungry and God provided them manna and they had to go out and pick it up each day. And when they got out there, what the Lord told them, He said, you pick up just enough for today. But there was those that went out and they picked up more than what they was supposed to. And they thought, well, we won't have to go out tomorrow. We won't have to go out tomorrow. We'll have this already here. You know what happened to that was left over? There was worms in it. Now, what do you see there? Those that went out there and they got their bowl full just enough for one day. Then you had that fella that just did not have trust enough to say that would not be there the next day. He went out there and he got enough for two or three days. That's a partial faith. But the one that got just enough, that's full faith. It'll be here tomorrow. Now, as we look at this message today, many that will sleep in the dust, He says, and many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life. I want you to understand something today. Not because I'm a preacher. Not because that I'm a good fellow. You may not even see me as a good fellow. I don't. Because I don't, I consider there's one that is good, and that's God. And I don't measure up to Him. Not because that I come down here to pastor this church. Not because of anything that I do, does it give me the right to everlasting life. I'm having everlasting life because of one thing, and that's Jesus Christ. You see, when you trust Him completely and fully, He gives us that promise. And that's a promise. And as a feller said last night, Jesus don't break promises. The Bible tells us He cannot lie. He never lied to you. He never will. All he is telling you today is this. If you trust him, he will save you. And that's a promise. That's a promise. I want you to get today. There is coming an end. Whether it be by death, it's appointed unto all men to die. There is coming a time when this world will end. And Jesus will come again for all of us. We that are saved and are in the grave will come forth out of the graves unto and meet the Lord in the air. But those that have sinned and are still sinners in the sight of God, they'll be resurrected to an everlasting shame. But what about us that are still here? This is the last part of this message today. I want you to imagine for just a moment. I want you to imagine this. I said, read out of Matthew a while ago, where it says, and the trumpet of God, the angels will come with the trump of God. I don't actually know what that trumpet's going to sound like. I've heard trumpets. I've heard them sound really loud at many times. And I think it'll be something like that. But if you were sitting here this morning in this congregation and you are not saved and you heard a great blast of a great trumpet at this time, I'm going to tell you something right now. I'm going to shout for praise and glory to God. What about you? As I'm shouting and the graves are burst open, what the Bible tells us in Thessalonians is, and we which remain, it says, we that are alive, in other words, we shall be caught up together. We'll be changed in a moment of a twinkling of an eye. And we'll be carried off to be with the Lord. Whew, that's something to think about. But sinner friend, what about you? Where would you be? I want you to think. Brother Tom's told you he was saved. Brother Brad's told you he was saved. Sister Star's told you she's saved. These different ones have told you they were saved. You see them changed right in front of your face. And us start to leave this building. Not through the doors. Not through the doors. We're going to meet Jesus. What about you? I want you to think about that today. What about you? Remember that last part of that verse? Risen to shame and contempt. What about your soul today? Brother Brad, that's our message today. What about your soul today? Oh, preacher, I just don't know if I can believe it. You better believe it. Not because I preach it, but because that word right there says it. That's God's word. And he's not lying to you. He's telling you to trust in him. It doesn't matter what you try to do. In that day, you may go in under the benches, try to hide. You may try to go into another room, and you may try to hide. But God sees you. He knows exactly where you're at, just like he knows exactly where you're at right now. Think about that today. While we stand and sing, that's what this altar is for. It's a place to pray. When you pray, you ask God to save you. You ask God to have mercy on you. A lot of people, they'll tell you to pray a sinner's prayer. And they'll say, just repeat after me. I'm not going to tell you what to pray. My prayer was good for me. I don't know any other good prayers. I know a lot of prayers. But I'm going to tell you, you know the prayer that you need to pray, and you pray it from your heart. That's what counts. If it's Jesus, save me. If it's like mine, Lord, I don't want to be left behind. Maybe you got something else that bears heavy upon your heart. You pray that, and you pray until God changes your soul before that great day comes. Why we stand and sing?
Would you stand? Page 226. 226.